Voice of America presents the Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests, Henry Morgan, Horton Hoffa, Minerva Pyers, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And this is Kenny Delmar speaking for your Ford dealer. Have you been around to his showroom yet to see his exciting beauty parade of new Fords? At your Ford dealers, you can get inside this great new car and have a good, thorough look at its luxurious interior. You can get all the inside story on the new midship ride, hydrocoil and Paraflex spring, equipoise power, and magic action brakes. Then you'll go for the good news about the new Ford savings of gas and oil. Savings up to 10%. Aye, man, that's thrift. That's really squeezing the penny. Tomorrow at your Ford dealers, find out all about the new Ford. Well, it's Sunday night again, and here's Fred Allen driving up in his 49 Ford to keep his weekly gate at the corner of Main Street. As Fred steps out of his Ford, he hears a voice say,
Mr. Allen!
Say, Quartman, see you there, Fred. Well, tell me, wait till I get the door locked here. Tell me, Quartman, what have you been up to since I saw you last Sunday?
Mama took me to the opera opening.
Oh, really? I saw pictures of all of the society women at the Met opening, you know, with their furs and their jewelry.
One woman had a diamond so heavy, she couldn't wear it.
No.
She had taxes on the diamond and was driving it behind her.
Okay. I saw a picture, some dowager was wearing a silver fox Bal McCann, and her compact was the kneecap of a mink. Fuzz on the top of it. The mink is noted for the fuzz on its kneecap, you know.
Mama said there was so much fur at the opera that two bears were sitting in the balcony and nobody noticed them.
Two real bears?
Well, nobody knew they were real bears until it got hot in the balcony.
Oh. What happened?
An usher tried to help one of the bears take her coat off.
Oh, I see. I saw that bear later. It was using the usher's arm for a back scratcher. I know. Well, tell me, what else is new, Portland?
England is having its worst fog in years.
Oh, say, I wonder why the fog is so bad in England.
Well, Mama says it's because there's so much dew on the deck.
Dew on the deck. That does it. I guess I'll buy a paper and start back for home, Portland.
Can I come with you?
Oh, sure. Let's take a walk down Main Street.
All right.
Come on.
What does the paper say?
Say, here's an ad. Fire sale.
That's silly. Who would want to buy a fire?
Well, you can't. You can't tell. Somebody may have some old water left in a hose and want to get rid of it. Hey, here's an item. Look at this. The Labor Department says that it isn't true that wives spend more money for clothes than husbands. Husbands spend more for clothes than wives.
Well, most people think that women spend more than men.
Well, it seems to be a difference of opinion here, Portland, and there's only one way to find out. Let's ask some people now as we walk along Main Street. Now, this man coming along with a herringbone briefcase. Pardon me, sir.
Claghorn, say, Claghorn's the name, son. Senator Claghorn, that is. See me at my office, son. I don't pass out free seeds on the street.
Senator.
Yeah.
Senator, you remember me, Fred Allen.
Oh, yeah. As a rule, I never forget a face. With yours, I was just lucky.
Now, look, Senator.
Well, I've been busier than an octopus trying to let go of a piece of flypaper, son.
You've been busy?
Yeah, I'm working on the president's health plan.
Oh, the president has a plan to improve the nation's health?
I'm all for it, son. Show me a healthy nation, and I'll show you a nation that ain't sick.
Fine.
You can quote me on that.
Well,
son, last year I was on a committee. We raised $80,000 for research in lumbago.
Lumbago?
Well, we built a big laboratory.
Yes.
We got a rat. Shaved all the hair off its back.
Yes.
On a bitter cold day, we put that rat out in the rain with no umbrella.
Yeah.
The rat got lumbago.
I see.
50 doctors and 50 chemists started studying the rat, working day and night.
Yes.
Finally, they produced the lumbago serum.
Well, is the serum a success?
It won't cure people.
No.
But if you know a rat who's suffering from lumbago, son, you send that rat to me.
I'll tear up a few rats for you tomorrow, Senator. Tell me now about our question tonight, Senator. Do you think that men spend more money for clothes than women?
I know they do. We started that movement in the South. When I think of cutting down on women's clothing, I think of that great name Lee.
Robert E. Lee?
Gypsy Rose Lee. Go on, go on, that is.
Say, Main Street sure looks nice tonight, Portland, doesn't it?
Did you see this sign in the Acropolis window?
The picture of the two bare feet?
Uh-huh. It says, which twin has the toenail?
Well, I guess that's the end of that joke for this time. There's nothing more you can do with the Tony after that. Say, look who's leaning against the lamppost, Portland.
Titus Moody.
Hi, Mr. Moody. Howdy, Bob. Well, Mr. Moody, you're looking well.
I'm glad to hear it.
You didn't know?
I broke my mirror late last summer.
Oh.
I ain't seen myself since Labor Day.
Well, you're looking well.
I'm glad and pleased to hear it.
Well, that's fine. Tell me, Mr. Moody, do you think women spend more on their clothes than men do?
Why, my wife, Miss Moody, don't.
Mrs. Moody is conservative?
Miss Moody is tighter than a small boy's hide after a turkey dinner.
He's stingy, eh?
Miss Moody takes after her father.
Oh.
At the wedding, her father wouldn't give the bride away.
Well, how did you get her?
I'm renting Miss Moody at so much for the month.
That must have been some wedding.
Oh, it was. The bride had to have something old and something new, something borrowed and something blue.
What did she get?
Well, something old was her mother.
Yeah.
Something new was her two front teeth.
Yeah.
Something borrowed was a front tire for the car.
And something blue?
The front tire blew as we was leaving the church.
And your wife hasn't bought any new clothes?
Not since the wedding.
Oh.
Miss Moody's been wearing a wedding dress for 40 years.
God.
But the other morning, she says, Moody, she says, I'm buying a new Lindsay Woolsey Mother Hubbard.
Uh-huh.
I says, after 40 years, Verbena Moody, yeah. I says, you're taking off your wedding dress.
And?
She says, yes, Moody, the honeymoon is over.
So long.
Well, come on, Portland, let's start.
Look who's coming.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
So who is slicing, calling the name?
Oh, it's you.
Yes, Mrs. Nussbaum. You look mad.
I'm boiling. Any minute I'm flying off the candle.
What's wrong?
Well, walking down Main Street, I'm seeing on Town Hall a sign, Inside Jam Session.
Inside Jam Session?
Thinking it is a food show with jellies and jams, yes. I'm buying a ticket.
And when you got inside?
Is playing Bebopper, a band, Izzy Gillespie.
Oh, Izzy. What is bebop? What is that?
Oh, this is mixing boogie-woogie with chives.
With chives. Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, about our question. Do you think women spend more for their clothes than men?
Sometimes, to buying his wife fancy garments, her husband is overdoing it.
Oh, you know of an instance?
Mrs. Kadesh Berkovich.
Yeah?
Without telling her husband, she's buying a platinum mink coat double-breasted. Mr. Berkovich, without telling his wife, is losing all his money in the stock market.
Oh-ho.
What to do?
What to do, indeed.
To pay for Mrs. Berkowitz's mink coat, there is no money except her husband's life insurance.
And to get the life insurance money?
Mr. Berkowitz is overdoing it.
How?
To getting double indemnity.
Yes?
He's dropping dead twice, thank you.
Main Street with all these characters, Portland, looks like a comic supplement come to life.
You haven't found out about the clothing question, have you?
No, I haven't. Well, let's try this little man with the pea green beanie coming along. Pardon me, sir.
You know, Mr. Barker, what are you going to take on me today? What is all of it? How do you do? How do you do? How do you do?
Ajax Cassidy.
Oh, no, let me lean on you, boy. I just had a shock that would scare the cape off of Superman.
What happened?
Well, you see, I stopped in at Fogarty's Fish Market to buy a breast of shrimp for dinner.
Oh, I...
When I got home with the breast of shrimp,
yes,
I felt something crawling around inside me turtleneck sweater.
Something crawling around.
Sure, I thought the watch got out of me watch and was on the loose.
Yes.
Well, I looked down me turtleneck, and there it was.
What?
A giant crab.
A giant crab? And it's still in there?
It is. I got me sweater full of cold seaweed to keep the crab fresh till Friday.
You're shaking, Ajax. But tell me, do you think men or women spend more for their clothes?
A man can spend more than a woman if he goes to extremes.
Extremes,
eh? Well, you take Rinty Monaghan.
Yeah?
The time Rinty won the Irish sweepstakes, he moved to Park Avenue in a sunken duplex.
Oh, he did.
Rinty bought so many suits of clothes, the first year he spent $20,000 for mothballs alone. Now, Rinty had a morning suit for morning.
Yeah.
A business suit for business.
Yeah.
A walking suit for walking.
He had a suit for every occasion.
One day he had a Charlie horse. Rinty appeared in a riding habit.
Hey, Rinty was overdoing it.
The next thing I heard Rinty was doing, he was doing 30 days.
On account of his clothes?
He joined the union.
And?
They caught Rinty strutting down Park Avenue wearing a high hat and a union suit. Goodbye to you.
Goodbye. Well, come on, Gordon. Let's go.
Why do I look in this music store?
In the music store? Say, what's that sheet music, that song in the window there?
Buttons and Bows. It's number one on the hit parade.
Oh, Buttons. Say, you know, last night I dreamed that Jack Eigen was playing a record. It was Al Goodman and his orchestra and the five DeMarco sisters doing Buttons and Bows. And you know something, Portland? It sounded like this. Look, there's Kenny Delmar standing on the corner.
He's talking to somebody, but nobody's there.
Say, it looks as though he's giving himself an argument. Say, Kenny may start a fight with himself. I'm going over and see what's wrong.
Now, listen, you. It stands to reason that nobody can beat the Ford dealer at taking care of your Ford. His mechanics work on Fords hour after hour, day after day, week after week.
Kenny.
Now, I'll be with you in a minute, Fred. Now, get this straight. The Ford dealer can give you genuine Ford parts. And he uses factory-approved methods and special Ford equipment. Think what that means.
Kenny.
Please, Fred, don't interrupt. Listen, brother, you can deny that. You can't deny that. The Ford dealer's special methods and equipment save time and labor costs. When you want a real service job, always bring your Ford back home to your Ford dealer.
Say, Kenny.
Okay, Fred, what can I do for you?
Well, look, Kenny, it's none of my business, but to whom are you talking?
Oh, nobody, Fred. I was just rehearsing.
Rehearsing?
Someday, someplace, I may meet a man who hasn't heard about Ford service. I want to be ready for him.
Well, do you really think that your talk was convincing?
Convincing? I just heard myself. I've got to get going.
Where?
To my Ford dealers. I'm taking my Ford back home for service. So long, Fred.
So long, Kenny. Hey, Porter, have you seen this new store on Main Street?
New store?
On the other corner, Pike's Pet Shop.
I wonder if Mr. Pike has a Pekingese.
Why?
We can go in and see Pike's Peak.
Portland, that sounds like a joke you'd find in a letter from Mary Livingston's mother. Hey, it's a swell night tonight. Let's keep walking for a little while.
Well, I can't. I have to go and buy Mama a Christmas present.
Oh, well, the 5 and 10 is just across the street, Portland. I'll see you later.
Good night.
Good night. Well, I think I'll walk along a little farther. All the stores are decorated for Christmas. Santa Clauses are out on the street corners ringing their bells. I think I'll give this old Santa Claus a quarter. Here you are, Santa Claus.
Thank you, sir, and a Merry Christmas.
Hey, you're not Santa Claus. You're Henry Morgan. Henry, what are you doing with that red suit and white beard playing Santa Claus?
Well, I've been slightly out of work, Fred.
Yeah?
this is the only job I could get.
Well, there's no sign on your chimney, Henry. Are you with the Salvation Army?
No.
The Volunteers of America?
No.
Well, for whom are you collecting money?
Morgan Foundation.
Well, what is the Morgan Foundation?
The Morgan Foundation is a small charitable venture dedicated to help Morgan circumvent malnutrition.
Oh.
The fact that I happen to be Morgan is purely coincidental and should not detract from the aims of this worthy organization.
But, Henry, you and that dirty ermine, a part-time Kris Kringle.
Oh, I'm doing very well, Fred. I got a capital gains deal with this chimney outfit here.
Oh, have you? Going over to the other side, eh? But, Henry, is this the first time you've worked since I saw you last fall?
No, I've had other jobs, Fred.
Oh, really? What other jobs?
Well, for a while at Hamburger Heaven, I was the chaplain.
Chaplain at Hamburger Heaven?
When the chef would finish cooking a hamburger, I'd call the roll up yonder.
What happened?
Well, one night at closing time, 3 hamburgers were missing.
Yes?
I was asked to exhale.
And?
On my breath, there was a trace of piccalilli.
Oh.
As chaplain, I was unfrocked.
Well, after you quit your celestial chores at Hamburger Heaven...
Then I went to work for Dr. Gallup.
Oh, taking polls?
Yes. My first job was the presidential election.
Henry, you two picked Dewey?
No, Fred. I had it figured out better than that.
Harry Truman?
Norman Thomas.
You were through, eh?
Well, not right away. Dr. Gallup called me into his office and he said, Henry, I'll give you one more chance.
What happened then?
I picked Army over Navy by 20 points.
Henry, what kind of jobs are these for you? Why, you're a great radio comedian. That's radio, true. Yes, it is true, Henry. Radio needs you.
Radio is all washed up, Fred, and I'm getting ready.
Ready for what?
I'm taking a course at a television acting school.
A television acting school?
Yes, all the big stars of television are in my class.
What stars?
Well, there are 3 hockey players from the New York Rangers.
Yes, I've seen them on television.
2 trained seals, a dancing bear, Ed Sullivan.
Oh. That sounds like some school.
When you graduate, you know, you get a television PhD.
PhD?
Picture of Howdy Doody.
Henry, forget television. You belong in radio.
Fred, radio is dead.
Dead?
Radio City is a tombstone, 60 stories high.
But, Henry...
Radio killed itself.
How?
With those quiz shows, giveaway programs, those singing jingles.
What's wrong? What's wrong with singing jingles?
Well, Fred, take that Life Boy jingle.
Yeah?
Now, before radio, even your best friend wouldn't tell you.
Yeah?
Today, 4 strangers in a quartet yell it at you.
Yes, I guess you're right, Henry. There's plenty wrong with radio.
And that's why I'm waiting for television.
But you'll have the same problems in television.
Oh, you're wrong, Fred. I'll show you. Now, take those crime programs.
Crime programs?
In radio, a crime program sounds something like this.
The case of the missing glove. Or, it was only a mitten, but they knew the murderer had a hand in it.
I am Mittens Morgan, international elephant thief. They call me Mittens because they always wear mittens on a job. In case the elephant gets away, nobody can find no fingerprints. Right now, I got a hot elephant in the closet. I gotta lay low here till this thing blows up. Who's knocking? Must be one of the gang. Come in.
Okay, Mittens. The gig is up.
See, Tucker DeVellin.
You got a hot elephant on the premises.
How did you know, Flatfoot?
I got wind of it coming up the stairs. You're under arrest, Mittens. Let's go.
Not so fast, copper.
Mittens, put down that blackjack.
Oh. Oh.
That didn't do it, copper. I'll have to choke you to death. That didn't do it either, but this'll do it.
Mittens, not the gun.
Oh, no. Take this.
Oh, you got me, Mittens, but you won't get away.
Oh, no.
I've got three FBI men outside. With my last breath, I'll blow my whistle.
Three FBI men. I'll have to shoot it out.
Okay, Chief. Oh.
That takes care of the first one.
Okay, Chief.
Oh. There's the second, Flatfoot.
Where's Mitten, Chief?
Here I am, copper. Oh. I gotta get out of here. Now, where'd I put that elephant? Oh, yeah, the closet. I remember. Come on, Jumbo. You and me has got business with Sabu. There you are, Fred.
I see what you mean, Henry.
See, Fred, in radio, a crime program is 90% sound effects. The sound man does all the work.
Well, what will crime programs be like in television?
Sound man, he's out.
Out,
eh? Yeah, the actors will have to really stab each other and shoot each other.
Say.
The audience will actually see the crime committed.
How do you mean?
A television show will look something like this.
WNBT presents its new television crime feature, Henry Morgan, Big Game Thief.
I gave them coppers a slip. They'll never catch Morgan, a big game thief. Who's that? I forgot to lock the door.
Okay, Morgan. The gig is up.
You ain't got nothing on me, copper.
Oh, no? Somebody broke into Frank Buck's apartment. There's a hippopotamus missing. Let's go. Let's go, Morgan.
No, you don't, copper.
Morgan, put down that blackjack. Oh.
Well... I'm afraid that didn't do so good, cop. I'll have to choke you to death.
Oh.
No, that didn't do so good either, but this will.
Morgan, not the gun.
Take that.
You got me, Morgan. But there are three FBI men outside. With my last breath, I'll blow my whistle.
Three FBI men, eh? I'll have to shoot it out with them.
Did you hit my foot?
That takes care of the first one.
You want me, Chief?
That's the second one.
Oh, you shot, Chief.
Oh. That's the end of that. Now I gotta make my getaway. There you are, Fred.
Say, crime programs on television will be a lot different.
Oh, yeah, the actors are going to have to do everything.
But, Henry, getting hit on the head, being choked, is going to be pretty tough on the actors.
Oh, think of the employment that's going to create.
Employment, Henry. Henry, if an actor is killed...
Fred, crime shows will have to have bodies every week.
Oh.
Now, a dead actor in television is good for another 10 years.
If he's embalmed.
Naturally.
What about commercials, Henry?
Fred, in radio, they've been getting away with murder.
How do you mean?
Well, suppose that crime program we just did was sponsored by a dog biscuit company.
Yeah.
Now, in radio, the announcer would step up to the microphone and say, "Dog lovers, has your dog been sluggish lately? Has he been forgetting where he buries his bones? If he has, do your dog a favor. Get him a box of Barker's dog biscuits today. One box of Barker's dog biscuits contains 4 iron and 3 tons of spinach. More energy than 5 gallons of gasoline. More calcium than Dick Hames' teeth. Watch how Bowser goes for them. Here, Bowser, here, Bowser.
Now, Bowser, what have I got in my hand? That's right, a box of Barker's dog biscuits. Oh. Isn't that wonderful? Just listen to Bowser sniff that locked-in goodness. Now, up on your hind legs. Here's the biscuit. Wasn't that good? How good? Folks, I just wish you could see Bowser wagging his tail. Goodbye, Bowser. There goes a happy dog. And you too can have a happy dog if you feed your dog Barker's dog biscuits. Remember, Barker's dog biscuits are untouched by human hands. They're made by other dogs.
See what I mean about radio commercials, Fred? The radio tells you all about a lot of things that nobody sees.
And one of the actors always plays the dog.
Sure, but in television, you'll have to get a real dog.
A real dog?
Sure. When they start the same commercial in television, you'll just see a box on the screen. And then the announcer will say, "Recognize this box, folks. It's Weakheart, the dog food served in leading kennels everywhere. Weakheart, jam-packed full of nutrition. Each box of Weakheart contains more iron than one automobile skid chain." "More vitamin A, or more rock salt than one rock." "My assistant is demonstrating the rock." "Thank you." "More vitamin A than one coat hanger." "Thank you, assistant." "Yes, folks, if you want to have the liveliest dog in the neighborhood, feed him Weakheart. Here's a dog that's been raised on Weakheart since he's a pup. Here, Fido. Here, Fido. Over here, Fido. That's a good dog. Now, Fido, what am I holding in my hand? Fido? My hand?
Fido.
Fred, show him my hand.
Look up, Fido.
What am I holding in my hand, Fido? Fido? All right, Fido, stop going off. Tell me what I've got in my hand. Fred, why doesn't he bark?
Who knows? Try putting the box closer to him, Henry.
Here, Fido, sniff. Sniff. Sniff that locked in goodness. Come on, boy, sniff. Fido, breathe. That's right. Now sniff a little.
Henry, maybe if you open the package.
All right, here, Fido. Doesn't that look yummy?
Henry.
Isn't that delicious? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if your dog won't eat Weakheart, it makes a dandy breakfast cereal for the whole family. For the breakfast cereal, snap, crackle, and pop. Weakheart is the only breakfast cereal that barks. Remember, if it isn't good enough for a dog, it's good enough for you.
Before we end another visit to our Ford dealer shop, your genial host suggests that you drive in to see him tomorrow and let him prescribe a get-ready-for-winter treatment for your car. With his special equipment and special factory-approved methods, your Ford dealer can do the job right at a down-to-earth price. Next week, our guest will be Miss Shirley Booth. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.